morning, everybody. I'm Mary, and I'm so happy to be opening this part of Galatians. You know, we've been in this series of Galatians, maybe some of you think forever. We're getting to the home stretch. So open your Bibles to chapter 5, if you will, and if you're using your phone, as I see, there are Bibles in the back, if you want one. If you're using your phone, ESV is the version that will help, because I have a little assignment for you partway in, and it will help if you have that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, open these words to us and help us to hear and obey them, that we might be your children more and more, individually and together. In Christ's name, amen. In my family, the Maggard family, we had this Christmas Eve tradition. It was a big family. I'm one of eight. So we would draw names out of a hat and get Christmas Eve joke presents for one another. And one year, my sister drew my mother, and she bought one of those little boxes, maybe you've seen them, that have Bible verses in them or cute Christian sayings. You know those boxes? You've seen them, some of you. And my sister took the sayings out and made her own stash of cards. And on each of the cards, some of you are already getting what's coming, were my mother's saying. Like, there's no better feeling than a clean counter. To which we would say, of course, you want to bet. No wonder you have a headache. Look at this room. Can you see a theme here? And anyway, my daughter knew them all, and that same Christmas Eve, she was on dish duty. I avoided it by helping with before. Anyway, she was on dish duty, and they all started adding, like, okay, making more cards to go in the little box because it wasn't filled up yet. And Kate chipped in. My daughter Kate chipped in. She knew all the sayings. Every once in a while, she'd say one, and they'd all go, huh? I guess there were a couple of things that I added to the picture that were not my mom's. But anyway, you can see what I'm saying. She was a part of that Maggard culture, even though her last name was Hayes, right? She'd been shaped by it as I've been shaped by my mother, then she was shaped by me. And so she had a family resemblance. She knew all the things to say. Well, you know, it's God's intention that we're kind of like that. You know what I mean? That we would be a people who reflected his character and ways, the way I reflected, well, somewhat, my mother's, and Kate reflected mine, that we'd be a people so that when people see us in action, they recognize us. Just like I'm recognized as a Maggard, they recognize as a God one, a Jesus one. They learn and know something of what Jesus is like just by looking at us. Especially corporately, right? In some way, we're meant to look like God, and that people could imitate us. If they imitate us, they'd start looking like God too, not just looking like us, right? So that's what Paul wanted for the Galatians. He wanted them to be a community of faith who resembled God, who resembled Jesus' ways in their characters, and in their in their corporate character and in their behaviors. So let's backtrack a minute to talk about the law, because that's the backdrop for a lot of what Paul is saying here in Galatians. A few weeks ago, Matt told us that the law reveals our absolute dependence on him, like it reveals our absolute need for a savior. And that's true, but it isn't only that. It's also meant to be a picture, an introduction to God's character and ways. And it was never meant to be read as a rule book, right? Even the rules, the Ten Commandments pop in the middle of a story, right? About Moses leading the people. And think about David, who disobeyed, thou shalt commit adultery and thou shalt not commit murder. David disobeyed those commandments, but still is under God's love and guidance, right? God still delights in him. So these rules were never meant to be a rule book, but they're meant to paint a picture. They were never meant to be an entrance exam to the kingdom. They were never meant to be a ladder to climb to see if you could get there to heaven. Not at all. God has always longed, from the beginning of creation till now and forever, he's always longed for an interactive relationship with us, for a conversation with us, in which we might learn to carry out his will in the world. So we'd look like him and other people could join in too and be blessed by knowing and living with God, demonstrating what a God-focused life looks like. And that's what Paul discovered on the road to Damascus when he was converted. You might remember, he was furious with these Christians who disobeyed the law, right? He couldn't understand why they should be welcomed into God's family without circumcision, without the law, the rules. And he was furious until he met Jesus, boom, right on that road, right, blinded by it. And at that moment, he discovered Jesus as the law fulfiller who nullified the law as entrance exam. He began to follow Jesus, imitating him by listening and obeying the Father's voice and by loving others in costly sacrificial ways, which he enumerates in many of his letters, how much he sacrificed. But in the middle of that, he's acting like Jesus, who also obeyed his Father and laid down his life for us, right? And as Paul began to do that, more and more, he began to bear a family resemblance to Jesus, both in his character and in his behavior. And as we've learned in these last few weeks, when Paul visited the Galatians, that's what happened to them too, right? Paul was suffering from some illness, and in the middle of that, the Galatians discovered God's love and a power was available to them, even though they were outsiders. They were Gentiles. They weren't supposed to be able to come inside. But they learned that Jesus offered them that same with God life. And so they began to bear a family resemblance to Jesus too, just like Paul did, right? You'll remember last week, Mike reminded us of Paul's words to the Galatians, "You would have gouged out your eyes for me," right? That's how much they were willing to sacrifice costly sacrificial love to Paul, because they were resembling Jesus day by day more and more. They were willing to do anything for him, no matter how costly, out of their love for Jesus and their love for him. And that's why Paul is so furious. This is the only letter where he doesn't even spend time at the beginning giving praise for them. He's just mad. He loved the Galatians. He was thrilled that they discovered the way of Jesus and they begun to walk together in his power and freedom and love in their relationships, that they were looking like Jesus. They were reflecting Jesus' ways. And then these so-called teachers come along, bullying them. "You're not really a part of God's family. Not really, not till you're circumcised as the law requires. You are second-class citizens." Suddenly, they were outsiders. Now notice how these teachers use the law, right, as an entrance exam, separating the real Christians from the Christian wannabes, who's in, who's out, rather than a description of God's interaction, his loving interaction with his people through the centuries. Rather than nudging them to behave like members of God's family. And the Galatians were vulnerable, right? They knew that they had been outsiders. So they started listening to these teachers because they wanted to please God. Right? And these teachers come and they sound so logical. "Paul hasn't told you everything," they say. "You're not really in yet." Can you hear how that would pull them away? Can you imagine how confused they felt? And Paul is furious, angry. And he does have a prescription for their ailment. And the The prescription is the opening of today's passage. You heard it read. Walk by the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Paul calls them back to walk by the Spirit, to have that, can you hear that? That interactive, conversational life with Jesus. He calls them back to a life marked by costly, sacrificial love. He calls them back into God's kingdom, his realm, God's force field, if you will, back into living a Spirit-led, interactive life with God. And he's calling them out of the force field, the kingdom it's sometimes called, the realm, if you will, of the flesh. Flesh in this context does not just mean bodily desires, right? We often interpret it that way. It doesn't just mean sex or gluttony, right? It's actually referring to anything that pulls us away from God, outside of that light, interactive life with God. Like the law has been used earlier in this letter. Paul is talking about two different realms or kingdoms. The Spirit, can you picture it? I didn't know how to do a slide with circles, sorry. I'm technically technologically challenged, but so can you see this circle? This is the Spirit, and this is the flesh, right? They're two different kingdoms, and they're at war with one another. So they're calling to people on either side. They're in a battle, really, and all through Scripture, you hear this battle imagery, right? And yeah, I mean, you might put it this way. There's a battle in our family for many years. Like, which team do you want to join? You can't be both. You can't be a Yankee and a right, you can't, you got to choose one team, right? Although, as my husband said, the Yankees keep trying to woo the best Red Sox to their team, right? Okay, I said, I told myself I wasn't going to go down this bunny trail, but you can see how it fits, actually, right? The team of the flesh is trying to pull the team of the, well, I don't want to say that because I am a Yankee fan. Anyway, but you get the point, right? You know, this pull between the two, right? So what does the kingdom of flesh look like? Last week, Mike pointed out all those pictures, those plays on words with, what's the word? Cut, right? Cutting off, right? And it was all through that passage, last week's passage. And this physical cutting also includes a spiritual cutting, right? The realm of the flesh, the kingdom of the flesh, that's over here, right? I said spirit and flesh, right? Kingdom of the flesh, a circle would have been better. Kingdom of the flesh, it cuts people off. The law cuts people off. It doesn't just cut body parts, it cuts people off spiritually from God and then from one another too. It's a kingdom marked by ladders, right? By rules, by who's in and who's out, who's better, who's worse. If you miss a step, oops, oh well, tumble down and out. The title of this realm for Paul is the law, right? So flesh and law, those words become almost interchangeable for Paul. And living in this realm leads to works of the law. So look in your Bibles or on your phones, verses 19 and 20, and I want you to say them with me. These are the works of the law. Ready? Sexual immorality, idolatry, sorcery. Come on, enmity. You can do this. Some of you don't have your Bibles. What? Oh, I skipped some? Sorry. All right. So tell me what I skipped.
Impurity.
Sensuality. Oh my gosh, how did I do that? I skipped a whole I think I skipped a whole sentences. All right, enmity, strife, right? Jealousy. Anger. Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like this. Now, what do you notice about these? What do they have in common? Notice anything? What are they like, these things? You might say, well, I'm not guilty of any of it. Well, jealousy? Never, no. Anyway. Idolatry. But what do they have in common? Idolatry, yes, really, that could be, except it's one of them. So, like, do you notice what this does to relationships? Like, you're putting yourself first, you're going after whatever you want, and how divisive they are, right? Even as you're supposedly seeking God. This is what Peterson says in the Message. I love it. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes, divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on, Paul says, according in Peterson's translation, right? So you see where that, it's cutting off from one another, cutting off from God, even if it's supposed to be good. And even though there are laws against these things, right? But it doesn't keep you, as Matt told us, you know, it doesn't keep you from doing it. It just reveals what's in you. Now, the realm of the spirit is very different. Notice that it doesn't have works. It produces fruit. And notice, works of the law, fruit of the spirit, those are two very different qualities of things, right? You don't have to do anything to produce fruit. It emerges from a life lived with Jesus. So look at this list in verses 22 and 23, and hopefully I haven't left any out, partly because I mostly have the list memorized. Maybe some of you do. So let's say those, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And self-control actually, yeah, right, that's right. No law against these. Good. I didn't even have that in here, and that's a good addition, right? So it's opposed in some ways to the law. It's emerging out of a God-filled life. That word self-control, I think, it kind of means discipline. It means a kind of easy restraint for the good of others. Now, what do you notice about this list? How is it different from the other list? Come on, you can do this. What do you notice? What's it look like? It brings people together, right? Right. A kind of, you know, like, who doesn't want to be in a group that looks like this? Yes? Who doesn't want to be like this? But interacting with people like this, who doesn't want to be absorbed into a world, a kingdom, a realm, a force field like this? And that's what Paul is calling to the Galatians. Trust Jesus, and this is what you'll look like. Trust Jesus. Enter into an interactive life with Jesus, honoring him and loving one another sacrificial. And Paul promises the Spirit will invade this kind of life, and you'll look like this. You'll have a family resemblance to Jesus and his people. And it'll overflow into the lives of others and demonstrate God's character and ways to others. So who doesn't want that, right? That's what Paul is saying. Come on back. He goes on and says, remember that these realms are, right? They're opposed to each other. They're fighting against each other. So he reminds the Galatians that those who walk by the Spirit have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, they've focused on following Jesus so that those loud voices calling them back, well, this way, right? Flesh is here. Calling them back, right? Fade out. They start to die out. I mean, they hear the voices calling them, you need the law, you need circumcision. And they go, uh-uh, you voice don't belong here. I belong to Jesus. I belong to the kingdom of the Spirit. I'm not listening to you anymore. And those wants and desires that put me first and others last, you don't have a place. I belong here. I'm going to absorb this from God and from one another, right? And then Paul goes on with a final warning. If we live by the Spirit, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. Isn't that a great picture? Can you see it? Keep in step with the Spirit. So a number of years ago, my nephew went to the Naval Academy. And my sister was a widow, so she invited me to come along to induction day. And then a couple months later to parents' weekend. So induction day, it's just like the movies. Those of you who've experienced this know. You know, like they get their hair cut, they get the shots, they get the, you're nodding, okay. Did you go?
Coast Guard Academy.
So like, I mean, it is really, and we don't see everything, but we see the place where they've lined up with all the shots ready to hand them out. You know, we go kind of from place to place. And then at the end of I-Day, they call it, they parade, the Naval Academy, they parade. So they line up according to whatever their, I forget what these companies are called, but anyway, they line up and they parade out and you say goodbye, never to see them again. Almost, it feels that way, kind of, right? So now can I just say, like they're supposed to be lined up, right? And they're kind of lined up and they kind of march in sync, but it's kind of a motley crew. Really, it's like the Bad News Bears of the military, right? I mean, it's hilarious. So a couple months later, I go back to parents' weekend, and this time they parade. Oh my gosh, you would think that there's masking tape attaching or something, like a cord attaching them, electric cord maybe, so that if anyone gets out of line, I mean, they are so tight. It's only a couple of months. They are so tight. Now, how do they stay in line like that? Like, maybe you could tell me, but I think this is practice. Practice. Okay, good. Practice. And that fits, right? Practice walking by the Spirit. It takes practice. But it also takes paying attention to what's in front of you, right? Paying attention to what's in front of you. And putting your peripheral vision on who's next to you, right? And I think in the kingdom of the Spirit might also, maybe if you practice enough, you won't have to do this anymore, but somebody starts getting out of line, you kind of pull them back in, right? I mean, you can't do that if you're on parade, but like picture this, marching and somebody kind of wandering off. You know, I have a granddaughter who would probably wander off, like, right? You pull her back in line so she stays in formation, in godly, kingly formation, right? It's clear you can't keep in step with the Spirit alone. We've got to do it together. You can't be aligned alone, right? You've got to be aligned with one another to Jesus. And then Paul adds one more thing. I love, you know, he keeps adding one more thing, right? But here, let's not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Like, why does he add this, right? We're walking by the Spirit, right? But can you see how easily walking by the Spirit becomes a law, right? Walking by the Spirit, I'm walking by the Spirit. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm walking by the Spirit, right? Puffed up. Totally, suddenly, not the Spirit at all, as much as it might have, quote unquote, the appearance of law. It's a quick reminder how easy it is to turn walking by the Spirit into another entrance exam, another ladder, instead of a way of life that leads to love, power, and freedom, the way of life that Jesus offers. You know, I'm wondering if you and I need Paul's words to the Galatians as much as the Galatians did. Like, what would it look like, do you think, if we this week, just this week even, listened to Paul's words more fully? Right? What would it look like if we sought to walk by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit Like if we more fully absorbed God's family culture of obedience and love, even as Kate absorbed the maggot culture, we noticed when people around us are faltering, gently help them back into line. If we sought Jesus' help in serving those around us, asking, listening to his voice and his direction. Like in the last few weeks as I've been working on this, I love this passage already, but as I've been renewing this direction, like, am I really listening? Like, okay, I have my quiet time, but am I really listening for your direction step by step? Am I noticing those people in my exercise class or in the grocery store or at home? Am I noticing how I might love and serve them? Who needs help back into alignment? And you know, already I've experienced a kind of joy that has been a little bit missing, a lot missing. Even though I'm far from perfect, he'll tell you, from loving. But I'd like to do it along with you. What if we experimented this week? Could we try it? Like walking by the Spirit, could we like re-engage, recommit to listening for Jesus' voice and noticing how we can love and serve one another and pull people with us, pull us all into alignment. Sharing our ups and downs. I'd love to hear it next week if you have ups and downs of as you've sought to be more in love with God's love, power, and freedom. I think that's what he wants for us, right? I think that's what he wants for Trinity Burke, to be that kind of place that people walk into and they experience and know, hey, this is what Jesus' family is like. Hey, I'd like to be included in this culture. Pray with me. That's what we want, Lord. Like Paul, we want to imitate you, listening for your voice and reaching out to others with costly sacrificial love. And like the Galatians, we want to look like you, shaped afresh by your voice and by your people. So we boldly ask you to do that in our midst and to speak clearly enough to us that we can follow and love. In Christ's name, amen.